Okay, Friday morning after. You know, we are a community radio station. We are having our funding drive, so we would appreciate you if you went online and gave us a donation online. I am very pleased to have this next guest in our audience. He is playing in the background there. He's playing his beautiful guitar. And, you know, sometimes in life we all go through bumps and hurdles and all sorts of things. We never know what's going to pop up in life. And one of the reasons CKUT exists is to highlight some of these bumps and hurdles that these kind of situations you're not going to hear on mainstream media, and it's just one of the reasons that we exist. And I'm just very pleased to have in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well indeed. How are you, Joey?
I'm doing good. Can you introduce yourself?
Okie dokie.
And
how are we going to go about doing this? Well, first of all,
we're going to start off when you were a baby, because you're, first of all, we're over the goodness. over the next about 35 minutes, we're going to be highlighting this individual. And I ran into him on the street.
Oh,
and goodness. My wife bought his beautiful CD that
thank you
that he made of guitar, and she told me his story, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing, and it almost made me cry. It actually did make me cry. I want to why don't you start by introducing yourself?
Okay,
what's your name?
My name is Saravut In. Yes.
And let's start off when you were a baby.
You know, I'll try to go way back to that point. I was very privileged. I was born into a very privileged family, having remembered watching my own father and the whole nation watch my father perform on television prior to his assassination, shortly after my memory of my parents, and thus I was orphanized. Very quickly after that, this is during the wartime in the 70s. What year in particular that I was born, I don't remember. Being an orphan, I just don't remember exactly what year, but approximately 1961. And became orphanized in the early 70s. And I was shining shoes during which time. And luckily, I met a shoe shine partner who at the time stayed in an orphanage operated by a French priest, which later became a very huge part of my life, this particular brother, Michael. I was doing that for years and years, and one day my shoeshine partner had this idea of going to an airport and possibly be airlifted to Kingdom Come. Well, I had no idea where we were going, and he had no money, and I had lots of money at the time, and we hopped onto a taxi, and both of our lives changed since then.
Wow. So you ended up coming to the United States.
That's correct. We were airlifted to United States. One of the 28. I was one of the 28 children.
Yeah, there's actually
an article
yes. Is it the New York Times?
Yeah, no, the Washington Post.
Washington Post.
Yes, okay. Written by Barry, Mr. Barry. I've forgotten all about it, and that it was given to me. I will highlight it later. Highlight this later on. It was given to me by a Crown attorney, by my former wife. Yeah, I was very, very taken aback by that.
It's amazing. So.
Yep. So, it doesn't stop there.
No.
It doesn't stop there at all. I was so happy being airlifted, and before we start another segment of my life, on our way from Cambodia to United States, we made a pit stop one of the pit stops in the Philippines. And the Philippines, we got in there, we just like the 28 of us just playing around, and then now we were prepared to be airlifted to United States. And got on the plane, sure enough, guess who I saw? Brother Michael.
Really?
Brother Michael. He's in the article with me as well, yeah, in the Washington Post. Brother Michael. Oh, it was a joy. It was a joy. Oh, it was incredible.
It must have been really comforting just to have
and,
that.
And, you know, and he escorted us all the way from the Philippines. He's supposed to not have done that, I gathered. It was a surprise meeting. You know, he escorted both of us, me and Vanat. That was my shoeshine partner, who supposedly have been my brother. I didn't. There's a lot of story behind that as well.
It's too bad. I don't think we're going to be able to get to all the stories. But let's continue. So,
okay.
So you get to the United States.
Yeah, we got to the United States.
How old are you at this point?
I don't know my age, really. Okay.
We're approximately
13, okay. 13 years old.
Which it might have been pretty scary.
You know, I remember a lot. I've seen a lot, you know, the impact is amazing. However, Uncle Sam, the government, gave me 1966. It's manufactured by the U.S. government. My passport and everything, it's all for the record, I guess.
All right.
But my real age, I do not know.
All right.
So the 28 of us, got into the United States, and we were given to a family. And I was lucky to have been given to this family by the name of Boisel. Okay. I love French, Boisel. It's just perfect. And they adopted a lot of children at the time too. And she couldn't have children, so I was happy, hunky dory, da 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 da. And sure enough, it wasn't as happy as I planned.
What can you had spoken to me of that family actually ended up abusing you. What were they abusing all of the children, or was
this is a recollection. This is quite a memory lane to jog back to. However, I remember all of us got spanking and verbally abused and mentally abused. And I remember having always very adamant to keep my name. My name Saravut. My name Saravut. They changed my name, and I didn't like that. But I accepted. I have accepted that.
What did they change it to?
Christian. Christopher.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I can understand why you might have had a...
That I didn't really mind very much. You know, what is in the name anyway, you know? But the abuse that I couldn't take. No one can ever... I was very close to my biological parent, and I've never been touched by anybody.
Okay.
It's a violation.
Yeah.
And when I was touched by them, I didn't like that at all.
And that's a particular age where especially kids do not like to be treated
that
way.
Especially just coming from a war zone.
Yeah.
You know, and that one abuse to another, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And thank goodness I had the support, the community support in Toms River. At the time, we were living in Toms River, New Jersey.
Okay.
I've got the support, and they saw the teachers, they saw the abuse in there, because of course when you attend school, I mean you're under the scrutinies of the teachers and your peers and whatnot, and noticed the mark, the abuse, and noticed my attitude, start talking to me, and I was beginning to be very expressive, and I was just a very likable little child. I thought I was likable.
I think you're likable.
Anything that I did, I wanted to be perfect at it.
Yeah.
You know, and like for example, my guitar playing and my cello playing, and I always have that type of manners to be very friendly, and the abuse went on and all that, and the district of Toms River, the official. The police, they got involved.
Okay.
And that's when adoption rarely ever become nullified.
Right.
Rarely. Once you adopt.
Especially an international adoption.
That was the consequences of what they've done to me and to other children as well, not just myself.
Okay.
Once that happened, I jumped from one family to another. I didn't really like that idea anymore, so I thought I was going to basically wanting to represent myself at that age, you know, and I knew the language very well. I just was very, very, very strong feeling that I do not wish to live with anyone else. and that the community or the district of Thomas River ought to be able to do something about it.
Okay.
And they did. They tied up together. And they did an evaluation on my character and whatnot, and the judge granted me to live on my own.
Okay.
And fortunately, my landlord?
No, I don't.
Oh, I tell you, my principal of my high school.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. Oh, she's wonderful. I've learned an awful lot from her. And oh, Mr. Spaulding, I just want to mention his name. Oh, bless. He is everything to me. He's what you're about to hear in the CD and whatnot, my musical ability, just he nourished that within me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that was great that these people stepped in and helped you out.
Oh, it's like the community. I mean, I'm basically alive. Basically, I'm a living example of how important we are to each other.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the exemplary of it. I don't want to be. It's just my circumstances. I don't have anyone to no support, no family support.
Right.
And my children are here. Oh, that's another thing. And you know, and I'm doing my best. And you can, as much as you can, you still need that support.
Yeah. And the community comes. Ooh. And it's amazing how sometimes when you don't even know where that's coming from, all of a sudden it's there.
It's precious. It's a very precious thing. It's a very precious thing to have to be involved with community service. You know.
We're gonna take a quick break. I'm gonna play the first track off of your CD.
Okay.
I've been speaking with Sarah Vuthen, and he is a member of the community that we are highlighting this morning, and highlighting his life story, and I'm just very happy that he's decided to join us this morning. This is what community radio is all about: is about highlighting people's stories, helping people, and trying to create change. And hopefully, somebody will hear this morning, and you'll even have more support than you've had up to this point. This is the first track off of Sarah Vuthen's CD, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Don't know why I used to cry when you left me standing all alone. Now and then I see the wind blowing in my eyes, and then you know there is love, you know there is love. Promise me, we'll last and last. There's love you give that makes me so crazy. Now and then, the wind blows, then you know I will always be in need of your love. Well, I've had enough. I've had enough. The love you gave to me was just a lie. The love you gave to me was just a lie, just a lie. I don't know why I used to cry when you left me standing all alone. Now and then, you see the wind blow inside my direction. Well, well, I've had enough. I've had enough. The love you gave to me was just a lie, just a lie. The love you gave to me was just a lie. Just a lie.
Fed up with pesticide-soaked GMO-injected and possibly flawless vegetables? Want to know who grows your food, if they get paid, or if they even want to be growing your tomatoes and coffee? Want cheap, nutritious food all summer long? The Frigovert will be open all summer, and again, is proud to present its annual CSA Community-Supported Agriculture Project. Sign up now for fresh weekly organic vegetable baskets.
Pour la deuxième année, le Frigovert sera ouvert tout l'été. Veux-tu des légumes bio et des produits naturels et équitables? En plus, veux-tu supporter des fermiers locaux? Inscrivez-vous maintenant pour recevoir des paniers de légumes bio chaque semaine de l'été.
Beat back the city heat with crisp, cool, organic vegetables from a farm close to you. Pour plus d'informations, drop by Le Frigo Vert at 2130 Mackay Street or email us at lefrigovert@resist.ca. Nous sommes ouverts Monday to Friday, 11 to 7.
Do you have the hot ticket? With your pledge of $25 or more, you can win an iPod Shuffle from Moog Audio, or choose a pair of Iliad D1 Super Bookshelf loudspeakers from Audio d'Occasion. If sun and sand are your fare, you can also win a trip for two to anywhere in Latin America that Continental flies, courtesy of Andes Travel. Moog Audio, the hotspot for your sound needs, from DJ mixers to mics to drum machines. Check out www.moogaudio.com. Surf your way onto www.audio-occasion.qc.ca for the latest in home entertainment. Hardware. And for hot travel deals, go to www.andestravel.ca. Your reading needs will be satisfied at Heads Magazine. That's www.headsmagazine.com. CKET's grand prize takes place June 1st, 2006. For more info, www.ckat.ca. This is the Livewire.
Okay, Friday morning after. That song that you were just listening to is off a CD of my newest friend here that we have in the studio, and his name is Saravuddin, and that track was called Love, and you were saying something perhaps that you had gotten some from your father. You had taken.
I rarely ever listen to myself, having listened to it again just a few seconds ago, it brought memories of my father having the voice. I remember the voice, and people where I'm playing at Jean Couteau in Montreal, in front of Jean Couteau, people are just complimenting of my voice, and it reminds me of my father.
Okay, well, you're listening to CKUT Radio. As you know, that we are going through our funding drive, so if you want to call 398-8991 and pledge, I prefer actually if you go to ckut.ca for the next 20 minutes and pledge online. That would be great, because I am busy with my friend here, my newest friend. As I had stated before, my wife had gone to the Jean Coutu, which is on Montreal, just near Saint-Denis, and here is, we met our newest friend, and he was playing guitar and seeking help from the community as far as donations, selling his CD, his beautiful CD. So let's continue on with your story. I just think this is a fantastic. I just think it's very interesting, and it needs to be told to a wider audience. You came to Montreal. Where did we end up? We ended up.
The adoption became nullified.
Okay, the adoption became nullified, and
right. In 1979, and I was just entering my freshman year in high school.
Okay,
just like a regular any old teenager boy, you know. I would go to school, and I would come home and cook for myself. I study. I practice my guitar, and.
You were a grown-up. You were a real grown-up at
that
point.
Well, 13 going on 14.
Yeah, I mean, you had to grow up fast.
It's quite normal for me, because I did it as well in Cambodia after the assassination of my family. Being a little child, I don't remember being a kid, really. Being a teenager and having to fetch for yourself, not per se in terms of disciplining yourself and all that, I did that all by myself since 1979. And went throughout the high school, played football, you know, have friends, and luckily I won a scholarship to Rutgers University.
Amazing.
A full scholarship to Rutgers University.
Fantastic university.
Oh, I had the best time of my life in university. The best time of my life. Major in English Lit, literature. Not guitar, not music.
I'm sure you played the whole time, though.
I didn't play very much after I graduated from high school.
Oh, really?
I've left the music scene really totally out of. But music has never left me for certain. But I've kind of put it on a shelf a bit and concentrate on my studies and the university experience. Went on with a full scholarship and. Graduated in 1988, class of 88.
Fantastic.
And no different than anybody else in terms of emotion. I wanted to be loved. I felt there was something empty after my graduation. In fact, I didn't even go to my own graduation ceremony because I felt something. There was no one there to receive with me or share with me the joy that I was going through. I always had to do it by myself. It wasn't really fun for myself. I mean, I respect myself. I worked very hard.
It's a great accomplishment to graduate from Rutgers University.
But I still have that little nudge of regret not having someone there to share it with.
Right.
So I decided to do a little bit of research and find out where my adopted parents would be. And I find out they had moved to Florida. And I thought I would give them a shout and pay them a visit. Let's see if we have any different feeling or to maybe patch up and call it the truth or whatnot and continue, because I thought I loved them. I wanted to be loved by them, or I wanted to be loved by someone who loves me instead of abused me. Went there, saw them, and sure enough, it didn't turn out what I had planned, the bitterness and... being that I was supposedly one of her favorite sons, boys, and of course taken away from her was emotionally, this is psychological.
Mm-hmm.
It was not very good meeting at all.
Okay.
And I decided, it's funny enough, two friends of mine decided, said, listen, let's forget all of this, let's go to Montreal. I say, what? Montreal? Canada? Okay. That sounds fun. It's French. Oh, oui. Love French. I love French very much. And to this very day, in fact, I still kept the name Boiselle because I love French so much.
Wow, okay.
Of course, my real name is Saravut Boiselle In. My last name is In.
Okay.
I thought it would be fun to come up here as a change of scene, different country, a whole different language. So came up here and, just graduated from Rutgers, in my 20s, something like that. I don't even remember it, way back then. And met this beautiful young Chilean Canadian woman back then, my wife to be then, and fell in love, madly in love, and we wanted to build a family together.
Okay.
And we were very serious, we both are graduate from universities, and she became pregnant shortly after, and I, being American, young, I think I was a little bit foolish, not really caring about the borderline in terms of you getting your status, That's it. You got it. Bingo. And one after another, she's pregnant, and my son came, beautiful Sebastian. Oh, hello, my boy. I decided that, we decided that we would
take your time.
I would be the one who's going to stay home and take care of this little boy. And shortly after, this another one came, a little girl, my little Nicole. And being that, again, the situation that we were in, it just keep on rolling. I have no status here, and we were not planning to continue to stay here. However, the situation just brought us to continue the life that we were continuing. And we had then two beautiful, beautiful children, Sebastian and Nicole. If you guys out there hearing this, hello, sweetheart. Hello, baby. So, yeah, it was like a normal family, very young, you know, working hard, trying to build up a family, you know, traditional family. Mm-hmm. And when they were old enough to go to school again, we decided, my wife at the time was a very professional woman, she was working, and we decided that I would be a stay-home school father. I taught my babies how to read and write at a very young age. They were very advanced. They did attend school in Toronto for about a couple of weeks. And we had, well, not about a couple of weeks, about a week. And we had a phone call from the principal. And we said, uh-oh, what happened? We went there and the principal just told us, that, look, your children are causing all this attention because they were reading. And other children would ask them to write their name, read this, that, and we have no extra funds for gifted children. And I looked at my wife, we both looked at each other and said, okay, let us think about this. We went home, and that's when we decided I would be becoming a seriously stay-home schooled father, not just a stay-home father, but a stay-home schooled father. Mm-hmm. So we did that. We went on and on and on. And we decided that we, at the time, we were living in Toronto, and she was unemployed. And we decided to move back to Montreal, decided to move, first of all. And I was the one who was very adamant to make a pit stop here in Montreal to let the children go to school in French. Mind you, go back to my love of French. J'aime beaucoup la langue de français, mais je ne sais pas parler français couramment, je m'excuse. And my former wife was not into liking what I decided to do.
Okay.
And when we made a pit stop here in the year of 2000, we decided to have another child. Beautiful young little Sarabut. His birthday is coming. Again, happy birthday to my boy, a little Sarabut, 6 years old. So there, I was a stay-home school for three children, with three children, that is. And one day, my wife has had enough. Now, I'm skipping a little bit of, now there's a lot of financial burden on us, being that lack of support. We were always relying on her parents, and she's got tired of that. And one day decided to pack up everything, left a little note indicating, I have the note, indicating she's just not continuing to live this lifestyle anymore.
Okay.
And decided to leave to a woman's shelter. At the time, of course, we were evicted from our place, and I was stuck. I had no way of getting resources to get ourselves
out of it. No family, none of that support structure.
Not at all. And we'd done our best. And she decided to go to a woman's shelter and left a note and left not a single picture of my children behind. And now I'm being charged for verbally and mentally abusing my children. And this is just, it's too much energy for me to even sit down here and talk about this, where I'm always going back to that psychological report of my children. They're just gorgeous. It's beautiful. Any attorney would take a look at it and would beg to differ, or quite the contrary of what I'm being charged. But I'm fighting in court what my wife is throwing against me all by myself. I'm not eligible for legal aid. I have no status in Canada. I'm a tourist, basically, a long sojourning tourist for the last 15 years. And I can't seek a status. It's a catch-22 with me now. I can't leave Montreal to go to New Jersey and work and come back because there's a court case pending against me. And I can't work here because I got no status. So the only way that I could do anything was to have private student. And also, at the time, I did have private student when I was doing my separation. And he was from he's from Mexico. He had a guitar. And I was just start playing the guitar around. Let's just start banging around. He said, you're good. You're good. You know, I haven't played this instrument since, 1984. And he said, you go out there and make, you know, you can. I basically started as therapy. I just went out. I agree with him. I went out, took his guitar, and went out there and sit on the step of the Church of Mont-Royal, right on Mont-Royal and Barrie, I believe, and start playing. And sure enough, I got the response. And I said, wow, this is therapeutic. And at the same time, I'm sleeping and I'm eating. And that's when it happened. I continued to do so.
So how long have you been doing that now?
Since 2000, I don't even want to. 2003, June 5th of 2003.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to play the second track off your beautiful CD. And I believe that this track is called Peace.
Peace.
Okay. Well, I want everybody to enjoy this, and we'll be right back. Okay, Friday morning after, you were just listening to a track called Peace by Sarah Vuthin. He is joining us in the studio. Currently, would you describe yourself as homeless?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. True definition of...
Of homeless. And, yes. And you have been out on the street since, I think you said, June 5th, 2003.
That's correct.
And you are currently in the process of going through court proceedings.
That's correct.
And what struck me as very, it just broke my heart, is the way that you speak about your children and the love for your children. Can you say their names?
Yes, my first one, my eldest one, Sebastian. My second one, my little girl, her name is Nicole. And my youngest one, his name is Saravut. No junior, mommy doesn't like junior, so just Saravut. And I miss you all, I miss you guys, I miss you dearly. Yeah. This is why I do what I do at this very moment. Sitting in front of John Couto playing guitar. I do not have the heart to leave my children the way the situation that I was placed. Oh, excuse me, pardon me. I can't even...
Take your time.
I miss my babies very much. I miss them very much. Okay. Every day I go out there sitting down playing guitar. There's one point I do it all... I do it with the intention of hoping to see one of my children, if not... my children walking by, and I just imagine myself throwing my arms and tell them, the love I have for them is forever, but the love between mommy and papi can be forever broken. However, I will stress and emphasize that the love I have for them is forever. This is one of the reasons why I maintain my status here in Canada without any status.
And it's very difficult, especially to be in a situation where you're caught. We say in English, catch 22 almost.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
From the famous book. But it is. It's almost like being in a time warp. So it must be very difficult. If I want to stress to my listeners that if ever you are find yourself on Rue Montréal near Rue Berry, and you see an individual, and he is playing his guitar in front of that Jean Coutu, I want you to stop and talk to him, and actually just talk to him. A lot of us. Especially right now, there are numerous people who are having trouble and find themselves in a position where they have to ask the community to help them by holding out their hand. And sometimes we tend to just walk by. And I'm just so happy that my wife didn't walk by you. And that she bought that CD, and that I came to know a beautiful person because of it. And Montreal is a wonderful community, and these people have supported you.
Oh,
and
Joe.
This is a community radio station, and you are a part of the community.
I thank you so much for this opportunity, Joe. Thank you ever so much, and I want to say profuse thanks to the community, the people of Montreal, who have supported me for all these difficult times I'm going through. Oh, the people are so loving. Oh, they're so loving. I'm feeling more and more. I didn't know at the beginning, but now, wow, I feel more and more like this is my little family. This is what family is about. You respect each other. You love. You share. And that's what I did with my family. I disciplined my children. I've educated my children. It was just that I couldn't provide the living status of what my wife were accustomed to. And that was that. And she decided that this is what I'm going to do. And I don't think this is fair. Who's to say that I have three children? Who's to say that none of them wants to see me? I can't. But I just know. No. No, I am not leaving Montreal or your country without my children, or have some sort of closure with my baby, with civility, that is. No, I'm very, 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 I have a very strong feeling about that.
Well, and I hope that those your children will hear this, and that they'll come by and say hi to you.
Oh goodness!
And we're gonna have to go. We're gonna play out the third song on your wonderful CD. It's called Joy. And then I'm gonna play a little thing from our soul brothers in Nimbin, Australia, who we share content with every once in a while. But let's just say really quickly, you have your process is going to come to court on May 1st.
That's correct.
So if people want to support you in that process, where would they want to go?
To Palais de Justice.
Okay. On May 1st?
On May 1st at 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay. That's what I am ordered to be there.
Okay. And I just really quickly, I wanted to give a shout out to the person who helped you make your CD. I thought that was wonderful.
Oh, yes. Carol. His name
you
is Carol.
You found yourself on the stairs in front of that church, and he just put his foot up and said, hey, you remember me?
That is
the engineer.
That was just what an experience I have for the last 2 years in front of that church in Jean Coutu. It's just amazing. Amazing.
So, all right.
I want to thank you. Thank you so much to the community and the people of Montreal. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I thank you, Joey, for giving me the opportunity to do this.
Well,
thank you
know
very
that,
much.
We are a community radio station, and this is why we exist, because we exist as a support structure for our community. Mm-hmm. And if you you might know that we're having our funding drive, and you can call anytime during the day until through Sunday night, 398-8991, and you can pledge your support for the radio station. We need your help. We don't have those fabulous funds that all those CBCs mm-hmm. and everybody else gets. So you can also go online at www.ckut.ca, and you're going to listen to this track. It is called Joy. It is on a CD made by Sarah Ruth Inn, and I thank you for joining me this morning.
I thank you.
And I wish you good luck with everything.
Thank you, Joe.
Be strong and keep strong. And
I thank you, the community. I thank you to all the people who've come in and showed the support at the court last hearing. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much.
Okay. We'll be right back.